Guys, it is time to go through our top eight and our grand finalists. Pete, let's start with you. Who have you got for your top eight for this year?
Okay, my top eight are South Sydney, Melbourne, Canterbury, Cronulla, Canberra, Manly, Brisbane, North Queensland. And my grand finalists...
Well, we'll save them. We'll save the grand finalists. We'll build up for it. Tigers MS, your turn for that top eight.
Top eight, okay, in order. I'm going to go Melbourne, Souths, Roosters, Sharks, Knights, Dogs, Manly and Raiders.
Wow. So there's a few new look, or a bit of a new look to that top eight, if that happens. Same with mine, actually. I'm going to predict the Cowboys to win the minor premiership. From the Seagulls, Storm, the Raiders to round out the top four. Then the Knights, the Roosters, the Bulldogs and the West Tigers to sneak into the top eight just ahead of the Panthers and the Warriors. Guys, let's come back now to our grand finalists. Pete, we'll start with you.
Tough call, but South Sydney and Melbourne.
And the winner?
South Sydney.
Oh, South Sydney, the year of the Rabbitoh. Tigers MS.
Melbourne South Grand Final. Melbourne.
Winning. Wow. Wow. So you've got big on Souths as well. Gee, I got Souths missing the eight. What am I? Am I just predicting an Adam Reynolds injury?
You might be. Or yeah. It might just be that you're a Tiger supporter. And it naturally comes.
The Book of Feuds has struck again.
It's hard for me too.
Well, I'm going to predict the Seagulls make the grand final and actually play the Cowboys. So the top two will face off, which is a bit of a rarity, although it did happen last year. And the Cowboys, I think they're finally going to break their hoodoo. We're going to see a new NRL champion this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, guys, one thing we've still got to say. Wooden spoon. Pete?
Parramatta.
Wow, back to back.
Yeah, I just think they've bought nobody. They've lost. Highmarsh was doing 45 tackles a game, and Darcy Lussick and Daniel Harrison, with all due respect, I don't see him replacing them. Got some good juniors and whatever, but I think Ricky Stewart, to be quite honest, is quite overrated as a coach. And I do not think that they will, you know, they'll go better than last year, but I think they will run last.
Got a long way to go on their roster, don't they? Tigers MS?
Titans.
Wow. Well, they've got a lot hinging on this season, that's for sure, as does coach John Cartwright.
They've lost their best player, and Cartwright was running out of ideas last season, so I don't know what he's going to do this one.
Well, guys, I'm sorry to say, Pete, I'm going for the Dragons.
Oh!
Sorry, mate.
Oh, I'm glad it's been recorded, mate, is all I can say.
Well, we're going to put it up on the website. Don't worry about it. All three of us, all our top eight predictions and our grand finalists will be there all year. It's at www.paulygsports.com. You should log on there weekly anyway, if not more, so to see the up-to-date information about NRL in particular at this time of year. But we do other things as well. NFL will be on there, if you like, the American football game, and a few other sports like cricket as well. And, of course, if you want more up-to-date information, just follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paulie G Sports, and Tigers MS is at Tigers MS 78. So anytime anything breaks, we're straight away on there and on Twitter and letting you know what's going on. We've got things still occurring with the Australian Crime Commission report. We'll keep you up to date on that, and it really is a great way just to stay in touch with everything and get the podcast each and every week. We are on iTunes. You can subscribe to Paulie G Sports. Brand new segment coming up now. Tigers MS and I are going to delve deep into the world of Supercoach and give you a bit of an idea of what we think is going to happen in season 2013. It's a two-part special, but we will be doing regular Supercoach each week, so as the season progresses. But this is part one of our Supercoach season preview. And the all-new segment for 2013 on NRL Live is Supercoach. Tigers MS and I will go in-depth and try to break it down to give you some top tips for great players to pick up either off the waivers or on the trades if you're in the draft segment, or if you're doing the regular Supercoach, being able to buy or sell at buy low, sell high, that sort of thing. And which guys are you going to be able to find that no one else is looking at in 2013? So definitely, if you're a member of Supercoach, either on Fox Sports or Daily Telegraph, it's essential you download this podcast to get the insider info. Tigers MS, a bit of a new year, obviously, for Supercoach with Fox merging with the Daily Telegraph system. So we're going to get a big influx of players joining this year, and also a brand new system. Basically, scoring is changing, more emphasis on try scorers and try assists, and attacking-based players. Not as many points will come in for guys that maybe are more of their workhorses. One of the big changes, hit-ups. Over 8 metres will get 2 points, but under 8 metres will only get 1. As opposed to all hit-ups scoring 2 last year, while tries and try assists have gone up 2 points each, and a tackle breaks is a new stat, 2 points. And a kicker can force a dropout and pick up 6 points, another new stat there. Tigers MS, how do you think that these changes overall are going to affect people planning for their Supercoach teams?
Well, look, I think that they're going to have to pick the second row is probably going to be the most important thing, especially with the hit-ups. Over 8 metres being worth 2, also with the tackle breaks, because if you set up a few of the big guys that tend to play in the second row out wide, as they tend to do, I mean, there was more than one or there was more than about, I don't know, I saw at least 20 games where one back row would terrorise, you know, a slightly smaller centre.
Yeah.
And yeah, and really go through them.
And the amount of times you see on third, fourth, and fifth tackle the hit ups made, gaining those extra meters, starting to get a roll on, you get the 10 meter gains, as opposed to earlier in the tackle count where the front rowers usually take it up, they're usually only getting 6 or 7.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Guys, with the kicking, you're going to have to. Well, it's a double-edged sword now with the kicking, like, for example, forcing the dropout, that kind of thing. It may even be worth chucking in 2 or maybe even 3 number nines in the front row for your team.
I think for sure you've got your dummy half runs.
Especially if they're a creative number nine.
Yeah.
I think that'll gain you a lot of points.
Look, last year you did want to have guys that could play multiple positions, move them around a bit, but this year it's going to be even more important. If you can pick up either second rowers or hookers and that will get you front row forward positions, then by all means that's where you should be going. I think you're going to stay away from your out-and-out true props, your Keith Galloways, your Aaron Woods, those type of prop forwards. You know, Petros Ivanisevic obviously retired now, but that traditional go-forward kind of prop probably isn't going to get you the big points in Supercoach this year. You're probably going to look at either your hookers, like you were saying, the more ball-playing hookers, or guys that play second row but are credited in the front row, like maybe a Paul Gallen, someone like that. Obviously, Paul Gallen based top last year under the old system, but still ranked top under the new system, but there were many changes below him. So definitely Paul Gallen's still a very key player to have if you can afford him or if you get him in the draft. But after that strategy really changes. And Tigers MS, we're going to go into more details in part 2 of our season preview, which is going to be on next week's NRL Live episode, although we'll endeavour to have the podcast for Supercoach up separately on the website too, www.paulygsports.com. Today, let's have a look at those key positions. We've mentioned second row, we've mentioned hooker. What about the back lines? Definitely for mine, fullbacks is going to be a really key position because you've got guys that were in the old top 10. Only Jared Hayne got in there as a fullback, but under the new top 10, Ben Barber got in, Billy Slater got in, Greg Inglis got in, Hayne moved up from 6 to 2. So fullback's a huge benefit to this new scoring system.
Yeah, you definitely want a fullback that either A, scores tries, is on the end of tries, or is a creative fullback, one, a guy that slots into the line. Billy Slater is a key example of that. Slots into the line, but also can pass and set up. set up a lot of tries for his team, where you have other guys. You know, I'm not sure if a guy like maybe Brett Stewart is a middle of the road kind of choice. Perhaps for his price is a little bit too expensive. He does score tries, but he isn't the kind of guy to create a lot. He's more of the guy to be on the end of it, and you know, beat everyone to the line on a 30-metre run sort of thing.
17 points for tries this year, up 2 from last year. Brett Stewart's going to get a lot of those if he can get on the park. He is battling some injury issues in the off-season. Try assists, but he's not the type of fullback that will get in the line and probably assist in many tries. That's up 2 from last year or so to 12, so it's a big key. And a lot of fullbacks kick goals.
Yeah, well, that's right. Not a goal kicker, exactly, right. And so that's an added extra. I think one of the keys is possibly getting a few kickers into your team.
Definitely.
Whether that be in the forwards or the backs, and just for that little extra boost.
Very critical that they do have a good kicking percentage, however, because you do lose 2 points for every missed goal.
Oh, okay. Rightio.
So that can really adjust things if you've got a guy like Benji Marshall, perhaps, looking at him, because his goal kicking certainly isn't the best. Whether he is even goal kicking this year or not, I'm not 100% with Jacob Miller potentially playing, but he's a guy that you could lose quite a number of points with his goal kicking, even though you'd still probably still back yourself to get more, because there's 4 for each goal you do kick. But compared to someone else, it's really racking up those points for goals, not missing many. You know, it may not be worth the extra money you've got to spend on a Benji Marshall. Now, talking about Benji, because he is this year apparently going to play 5/8. Now, to me, 5/8 is the position that you really want to stay away from. It's not traditionally a high-ranking scoring position under the old system, and it doesn't look like it's been adjusted much. So for me, I'd be looking at getting either a halfback or a fullback that is listed as their second position, 5/8, slotting him in there. A guy like Jarryd Hayne, yes, he's going to be very expensive, but you could slot him at 5/8, and he would be huge for you if you could also afford to get in a fullback like we were discussing earlier.
Yeah. I agree with that. Also, the other option is getting a second rower that comes off the bench, perhaps, in that position, like Joseph Polo for Parramatta.
Yeah.
He created a lot for them last year.
He could be a real good sleeper pick. Now, we're going to discuss sleeper picks in detail next week. We're going to go specifically into players' names, guys that we think that you need on your Supercoach team. So make sure that you do tune into next week's NRL Live episode to get that information on the Supercoach. Finally, Tigers MS. We've said that 5/8 is probably not going to be your top position, but halfbacks, they look to also have improved with the new system. Is that also an area that you should target if you're in a draft? Perhaps is it someone that you go after earlier, Jonathan Thurston or someone like him, for example?
Yeah, I'd say apart from maybe a hooker or someone, you're going after a halfback first or second pick. You want someone who creates, who has a good kicking game. Well, I guess Adam Reynolds is a good example of that from last season. Has a good kicking game, did create a lot, and scored a lot of tries himself.
That forced dropouts, the new stat, 6 points per forced dropout.
Yeah.
That could really help a guy like Adam Reynolds.
Yep, so guys like that will really, gain you a lot of points in this new system.
Yeah, and line break assists is also up 2 from last year. So the try assists and line break assists, another couple of stats that's going to help out halfbacks, especially the attacking type of halfbacks, of course. Centres and wingers, look, you never quite know what you're going to get. Even a top try scorer like an Ashley Graham doesn't rank too high. So, I mean, you've got to kind of weigh it up. Can you find a second rower, like a Joel Thompson, that's also listed as a centre or a winger, that you could really get to get out there? Could you find a fullback like Greg Inglis or Josh Mansour, who's also listed as a centre or a winger? Those are the type of guys I'd be looking for in the centres and wingers, more so than you're out and out flyers, although, you know, anyone that can score tries, certainly with the new system, are going to get up some points from you if you can get them at good value.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that's probably the key, looking for either centres or wingers that score a bit of points, maybe kick some goals as well. and just working there, or getting your second rower, who's also being who they let be picked in the centres, could really gain you some extra points.
There are others, but we will discuss them in more detail next week, as I said earlier. Now, of course, captain and vice-captain, they get your bonus points each and every week. We've talked about those key positions again. Should you be targeting them as your captain, or would you just look at basically, this guy's my highest-priced player, he's my captain?
No, I definitely think that you either want your captain in the second row as your halfback, or as if you've got a creative number nine, then you'd want definitely. Him as your skipper, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Hooker, I think, is going to be a key position this year. Finally, the bench. Obviously, in Supercoach, you can score points from your bench as well. Where are you looking to load up there to get your depth, also to cover bye weeks, although there won't be as many bye weeks this year, but that sort of thing. And also, guys that can make an impact from the bench.
Yeah, look, I think you have to think of guys from last year who came off the bench and did good stuff for the teams. I think the Cowboys big bloke Tamalawala.
Oh yeah,
that's his name. I remember him busting a lot of tackles and doing some 10 plus metre runs. So maybe those guys who come off play there 25-30 minutes, okay. but do it in a but. You know, do the most, get the most out of their time when they're out there.
Well, any young guy that you can find that's low in value.
Yeah, definitely.
That
definitely
hasn't maybe got the stuff on the books yet. You can slot him in. You can and never be afraid to drop players. You know, if they aren't performing, rotate that interchange bench. Rotate your reserves. Pick up new, young, exciting players. See if you can get a steal. Pick up a couple of guys that maybe you'll be able to sell for more points later, or if you're in a draft situation, be able to trade out. Or who knows? You could have a key injury and suddenly this guy that you picked up a month earlier is going to play a big impact. But we are going to go into specific players that will do that for your team next week, NRL Live. Tigers MS, thanks very much for the very first Super Coach in NRL problems. Live. And now it's time to go to a very regular and famous segment in our show in World of Sport, and bring Pete back in for his World of Sport this week. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, well, would you believe, a few weeks ago in the UK, in the beautiful game of rugby league, they actually had to call off a game. Mm. Now, would you like to have a guess as to why that match may have been called off?
Snow.
Fog?
No. Have another guess.
Hail?
Zombies.
Nah.
Shaun of the Dead Part 3?
The players got caught in traffic.
What?
There was a match, it's a Super League match between Hull and Bradford.
So and, it wasn't even in London.
That was Friday, February the 7th. Well, sorry, February the 8th. And, this match was supposed to be played. It was a Hull home game. And the Bradford team bus actually was able to turn up, but the home players were not able to make it. Was quite rather reported. The home players were stuck in traffic.
That's interesting, Pete, because I've been to Hull, or Hull, as they call it there, and I've actually seen a rugby league Super League match there. There's not a lot going on in old Hull. Very surprised to see.
Thanks for killing our UK audience. Yeah,
there's a traffic. Look, lovely people. We had a great time at the ground. Nothing against that. Just the town itself. Not the town I would have imagined would have had this issue out of all these Super League teams. Apologise to the UK listeners for all.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's an overturned tanker on the motorway at first delayed kickoff. While the visiting team bus eventually made it to the ground, it was eight or so of the players, of the whole players, were left stranded, and the 10,000 plus fans were sent home.
They love their football there, I've got to say. They get great crowds, and they're very passionate, but they're also very knowledgeable.
The follow-up to it was actually the match was played a couple of days later. They delayed it till 3 o'clock on the Sunday, and Hull won 28-12 over Bradford. And
be
the
upset.
Halfback who starred for Hull that day was Daniel Holdsworth. So that was a former Dragon and former Bulldog player.
Yeah, I actually thought he was quite a good player, but he didn't quite
find a niche.
Yeah, great kicker.
Yeah. So, yeah, Hull 28 defeated Bradford 12, 2 days late. And you think it may not have a precedent in Australia, but if anyone knows their grand final history, you go back to 1986, famous grand final between Canterbury and Parramatta.
4-2 game.
Correct, that's it. And you remember who scored all the points for Parramatta that day?
Mick Cronin.
Correct. He was coming up from Gerringong, as he usually does. For anyone who doesn't know, that's a little place just south of Wollongong. I think he still owns a pub. He used to drive up there all the time for training and for matches. He's coming up there, and it gets a lot of fog around that area, around Wollongong, and there was a car accident there, and he got a guided escort from the police and arrived at the SCG about half an hour before the match actually started.
There you go. I never knew that story.
Very close thing. And wow. The way Sydney's traffic is at times, it wouldn't surprise me if we had a game like this in the NRL one day.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's very interesting. Well, guys, that is it. Round one of NRL Live is in the books. So thanks very much for joining us as always, Pete.
Absolute pleasure, gentlemen. Talk to you again next week.
Will do, Tigers MS.
Catch you later.
We'll see you next week for NRL Live. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at PolyGSports, at TigersMS78. Get on the website, www.polygsports.com, and subscribe in the iTunes.